Exodus and the book of Nehemiah and the book of Revelation. Amen. I got your attention right there, didn't I? Amen. The book of Romans, chapter number 6. Bradley mentioned it in prayer a while ago. I began preaching some weeks ago on Victory Now. And then we had a service where we just had a blowout, you know, and didn't get to preach. And then Joe Bryant came in. And we had Father's Day. Then Joe Bryant came in. And then we had another blowout 2 weeks ago. And then Brother Randy was here last week. And so we've got led away from this subject. But I do feel like God would have us to go back to it and to try to magnify some truth here. I want to read this chapter again. I bless the Lord for Romans chapter 6 and 7 and 8. Now, I mean that. I've had to look at them and go back to them time and time again. Now, I don't know about you, but I find myself struggling in this world and to live for God. Now, I'm going to say this, and I say it honestly. The longer you get, you have a different struggle. It's different. I mean, you live for God any amount of time. You finally put some ground between you and the devil and you and the world. And let me say this. Are you listening at me? Kind of get your attention here. The more ground you put between you and the world, the better off you're going to be. The more distance you put between you and it, the better off you're going to be. Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 1. Romans 6 and verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Let me make this statement again. You need, if you write in your Bible, you need to underscore these terms, that we were baptized into Jesus Christ's death. You need to get that in your mind. And verse 4, therefore, we are buried with him. We weren't only baptized into his death, we were buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified. Underscore that. Our old man is. It's not going to be. Our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Can you get a hold of that? If you die, once you die, you're going to be freed from sin. Beyond death, you'll have no more problem with it. Now, if we could see that that has already happened in relation to our relationship to Jesus. For he that is dead, I've already been dead. That's what happened in verse 3 and verse 4. I was dead. I was buried with Christ. I was raised with Christ. So he that is dead. Now get the thought here. Get the thought here. Are you with me out there? Are you with me out there? Get the thought here. Verse 7 is not talking about a future aspect. That's not the context of the verse 7. Verse 7 is not talking about someday you'll die, and when you die, you'll be freed from sin. The context is what's already happened to you in Jesus Christ. Amen. For he that is dead is freed from sin. For if we be dead with Christ, and again, that's happened in verse 3 and 4. If we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And that's talking about right now. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, that as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked, hallelujah, but God be thanked that ye were, past tense, the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. And I say amen to that, the infirmity of our flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield yourselves servants, your members servants, to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, thank God, but now, hallelujah. Are y'all with me? Some of you ain't even looking at your Bible. Look at that. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our Father, would you bless your word this morning? I know you have and I know you will. Use it to the betterment of your people and the glorifying of yourself. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I began to preach a few weeks ago on the subject of victory now. And we tried to look at that thing of our positional walk in Christ, where we stand in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, if we could see that when we by faith put our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, that God took us out of the first Adam and put us into the second Adam. Give me just a little volume on my lapel mic, Brother Andy. He took us out of the first Adam and put us into the second Adam. I have died in Adam. I'm dead to Adam. And thank God I am alive in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, friend, if you could ever see that, it'd change our Christian life. We wouldn't live defeated, we wouldn't live down all the time, and we wouldn't live under the dominion of sin. It's God's will. Now, if you're going to ever have victory over yourself, over your flesh, I heard a man say this week, and I understand what he meant, And I don't think it was really right, but I do understand this term and probably have made it sometime in my own life even. He said this. He said, your biggest enemy is the devil. Well, that's probably really not true. That's probably not true when all's said and done. That's probably not true. Somebody said, well, your biggest enemy is the world. No, that's probably not true either. Your biggest enemy really is yourself. Amen. That's your biggest enemy. If I didn't have such a wicked flesh, the world wouldn't tempt me. And the devil wouldn't have nothing there, thank God, to deal with. Amen. Jesus said this. He said, Satan comes, the devil comes, and he has nothing in me. Amen. He has nothing in me that he can use, thank God, to defeat me. But I can't say that about me. He does have something in me that he can use. Now, we used as an illustration of this truth, we tried to illustrate the truth with God bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt. Now, before you can ever have victory, you've got to know verse 18. Look at verse 18 of chapter 6, and then we'll go to the book of Exodus. Chapter 6, verse 18. Being then made free from sin. And then you've got to know verse 22. But now being made free from sin. You can't have victory over sin until God has made you free from sin. You can't do that to yourself. Help me out there, folks. You can't do that for yourself. He whom the Son makes free, thank God, is free indeed. Listen, God's got to do that work in you and for you. God's got to emancipate you from the law and from the power of sin if you're going to ever have victory over it. I'm beginning to believe that most folk in our generation just aren't saved. The biggest reason they can't get victory over sin, they've never been made free from sin. Amen. But friend, thank God one day God broke the power of sin in my life. May I say this, God broke the love of sin. Amen. I still sin. Any man say he does not sin, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. I sin, but I tell you one thing, hallelujah to God, if I know anything, 41 years ago, God broke the love of sin in my life. I sin, but I hate every minute of it. I hate every thought that goes through my mind that ought not to be there. I hate every feeling that goes through my heart that ought not be there. We talked about that past aspect, this practical aspect, but that future aspect, one day, thank God, now go to the book of Exodus, one day, thank God, what God began in my life, he will finish. Amen. I could stop and shout a while right there. That work, thank God, is going to be done after a while. Ain't that a blessing, thank God? God didn't start out with you and leave you where you're at. He ain't going to leave us where we're at this morning. He's going to finish, thank God, what he started. Amen. That's sure going to be a blessed day when I wave by at this old man and I wave by at this whole world. Amen. And the work, thank God, God is going to be done once for all and forever. Amen. Go back to Exodus just a minute. And I want to start there a little bit. And in Exodus chapter 6, and then we'll go back a little further. Exodus chapter 6, God talked about, I'm not going to read that. God talked about how that he's going to bring them out and under the burdens of Egypt. It's the purpose of God to bring them out. Go back to Exodus 2 just a minute. I feel like God would have me to stir around here just a little bit in this morning in Exodus chapter 2. How did God ever bring us out anyhow? How did God? You know, the world don't understand the new nature of the believer. They don't understand that. They've got religion, and they think just believing in God is good enough. But they don't understand the new birth. The new birth starts with death. Amen. The new birth starts with death. You'll never get saved and born again until you die, thank God. You got to die. Amen. I remember the day thank God that God put this old man to death. Amen. Hallelujah to God. And birthed a new man. I'm not just an old man. I'm a new man. Thank God. That old man died. Thank God. Amen. That old man died in the Lord. In Exodus chapter 2, this is how God began to bring them out. Let me begin to look at this in typology a few minutes. Verse 23, chapter 2, verse 23. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. May I say, number one, God regarded them. God had compassion on them in their bondage. Oh, friend, I wish God the Holy Ghost would make that as real to you as it's been made to me this morning and the last day or two. God regarded them because of his compassion. Aren't you glad today that God looked upon you one day in your sin? God looked upon you in your sorrow. God looked upon you in your servanthood. I've been a servant to sin, and God had compassion on you. Aren't you glad of that? Thank God. Aren't you glad that God felt for you in the state you was in? Do any of you remember, some of you that got out and sinned like I did, you'll remember how God began to convict you and how that work of conviction began to work in your heart. Oh, friend, have you ever looked at somebody bound in drugs and felt sorry for them? Have you ever looked at somebody that was an alcoholic and your heart went out to them? Have you ever looked at somebody that had sin, that was in the vice and the chains of sin, and they could not break it, and your heart went out to them? Amen. You think God's any less? You think God feels any less? Oh, God looks at humanity. God looked at humanity and saw him in his sin. And he couldn't get himself out. Amen. Amen. Help me, God, this morning. Amen. I remember before I got saved. Listen to me. I remember before I got saved, I got to wanting to quit sinning. I was chained to it. Amen. Some of y'all may not know what I'm talking about, but if you're lost, you're in the same shape. You're chained to it. You're just chained. You're in a ball and chain. You can't get free from it. But aren't you glad one day that the God of heaven set his eyes on you? He looked at you. Amen. He saw you in your sin. He saw you in your chains. He saw you in your vice. Amen. And his heart went out to you. Oh, he felt for you. Thank God the good Lamb of God felt for you. Amen. He felt for every drop of sorrow that sin had caused in your life. Every sleepless night, every lonely day, every hurt in your heart, every pain in your soul. Thank God he regarded you. He looked and saw and heard their cry. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Your mind may not be where mine's at. I'm thinking right now about all those lonely nights, Brother Keith, that I spent sitting in a car, Brother Bradley, in those days when I was lost, crying night after night after night. I did not know. I think it today without doubt. I believe the Lord heard that cry. I believe the Lord heard that sorrow. I believe the Lord heard every mama that sat at home hurting. Amen. I'll never forget what your grandmother said. It had been your grandmother. Never forget what your grandmother told me in a hospital bed once about how she got saved. She said, I lived down there in a holler. I don't know exactly where that's at. But she said, we lived down there in a holler from nowhere, back from nowhere. And she said, I didn't come out of there but once every month or so. And she said, I had a big family and I got so lonely down that holler. She said, I got so blue and I'd sit down that holler and cry day in and day out. I'd sit down in there and crying, and nobody knows crying. And she said, one day I turned the radio on a Sunday afternoon, and she said, I heard a preacher by the name of Bill Collins, and she said, I heard him preaching. She said, I listened at him for several months, and she said, one day he said, you'd get right down right there by the radio. God would save you by the radio. Amen. And she said, I bowed there in my sin. I bowed there right down by the radio, and God saved me. Amen. God saw her down that holler crying. Amen. Help me, God, this morning. Aren't you glad down there in that little hill over there in Carbo? Up there, thank God, in where you was at, down there in Scott Holler, Dorothy. Amen. Over there where I go to, God heard you cry. God saw you need. God heard your burden. God seen you hurting. Thank God. God had regard to you because of his compassion. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I can see the heart of God. I can see Jesus sending them away to get some bread. But he said, I must needs go through Samaria. Amen. I ain't getting to my text, but I'm having a good time with it. Amen. Somebody said, well, what is there through Samaria? There are a bunch of nobodies down there. They're a bunch of half-breeds. Amen. They don't know God. They don't know nothing about God. But the Lord said in his mind, he didn't tell them. He said, I've been watching a woman come down out that well day in and day out with a pitcher on her back. Amen. Getting water. She'd been married 5 times and she's shacked up right now and she's hurting and she needs some help. And I must needs go through Samaria because there's a woman down there. Amen. That must have eternal life. Praise God. Somebody help me. Thank God for that day that the Lord come to your Samaria. Amen. God didn't come down on Fifth Avenue when he saved me. He didn't come through Trump's Tower. Amen. He come through a field. Amen. It was eat up with sin. Hallelujah. The good shepherd beaten through the briars, beaten through the thicket, because down there, thank God, is one little sorrowful, lonely, lost sheep that's went astray. Hallelujah. He, thank God, he regarded them for his compassion. But secondly, look at verse 24. Not only he regarded them based on his compassion, but in verse 24, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Not only God regarded them because of his compassion, but he remembered them because of his covenant. Amen. He said, I've got some family down there, and I made a covenant. Aren't you glad God's a covenant-keeping God? Amen. God never, thank God, God never made one promise that he never kept. Amen. God remembered him because of his covenant. God went back there 430 years ago is a long time to us, as yesterday to God. God went back there, had made a covenant to Abraham, and he said, I got to bring them out because I made a promise to them. Amen. Made a promise to them. Listen, thank God 2,000 years ago we got after under the old covenant and we got under the new covenant. Amen. The Old Testament was passed away and thank God the New Testament. He said, this is the new covenant that I'll make with you. I'll remember your sins no more. Amen. I'll put them away. That new covenant was ratified. Listen. The old covenant was made. When the old covenant was made, they took a lamb and a bullock and they killed it and they sprinkled its blood on the altar, poured some of the blood around the foot of the altar, and then they went out through the people, amen, and took blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, this is the covenant that God hath ratified to you. I've showed you I mean it, but I've showed you that I mean it to the point of death. Amen. God ratified the covenant in blood. He sprinkled all the vessels in blood. He sprinkled all the people in blood. And he said, I'm going to remember my covenant with you. Amen. It's been ratified. Listen, thank God, one night, sitting in a little room, Jesus took his 12 disciples and he said, I'm making a new covenant with you. Amen. A New Testament, and it's going to be ratified by my blood. Amen. Sealed, thank God, in the blood. And God remembers his covenant today with his son. God don't save you for you. God saves you because of the covenant that he made with his son. Hallelujah. Amen. Boy, every time a sinner comes to the foot of the cross and cries out for salvation, God remembers the covenant that he made with his son. Whoso all that cometh to me, he said, ever all those that thou gavest me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. God gave to Jesus a body, thank God, a group that would come to him. Amen. God didn't save me because of me. He saved me because of the faithfulness and the work of his son at Calvary. Thank God. I'm saved. The covenant's ratified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is my covenant. This is my blood shed for you for the remission of sins. A new covenant. You know what that new covenant is? It's written on terms of grace. Amen. God didn't say you have to do anything. You don't have to do one thing to go to heaven but get under the blood covenant. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. Let's go to a third truth and put that together. In verse 23, God regarded them because of his compassion. In verse 24, God remembered them because of his covenant. But in verse 25, God had respect unto them because of a covering. Verse 25, God looked upon the children of Israel and God had respect unto them. I've often thought about this in my mind. How could God ever look upon you and I? Habakkuk 1:13 said that God's a purer eyes than to behold iniquity. How could God ever look and have respect to you and I? How could God ever respect me? How could God ever respect you? How could God ever look upon us with respect? Who's disrespected God? Who's disrespected everything that's holy? Who's disrespected his word and his spirit and his way? Amen. How could God ever look upon us? Look in Genesis chapter 4. I've told you this many times through the years in preaching. There's a law in the Bible called the law of the first mention, which means this. When you see something mentioned in the Bible, it will have that same general reasoning behind it throughout the entirety of the Bible. Genesis 4, verse 1. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived, bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. She again bare his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect, same word as you find in Exodus 2:25. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? Amen. How did God have respect to Abel and not to Cain? Why could God look with respect upon Abel and looked upon Cain with disrespect? You know why? He was looking upon Abel and he was looking upon Cain. He was looking upon their offering. Amen. He saw Abel's offering, and he looked upon Abel, and he respected Abel. Amen. You know the reason God can set his eyes on us? When he looks at you, are you with me this morning? When he looks at you, and he looks at me, he sees dirt and filth and depravity and corruption and defilement. I thought about defilement this morning. I came in, and I suppose a bird had fought with itself and lost. It was dead right in front of the pole, right in front of the window out there. You ever seen a bird fight with itself and lose? They killed themselves. They keep fighting against themselves, and it was laying right in front of that door. Had to dispose of it. Trust me, it didn't smell too good. Amen. And that's what it smells like in the sight and nostrils of God. And you know what we look like in the nostrils of God, in the eyes of God? Like a leprous man, a dirty smell. Rotten man. How could God ever look at us and have respect on us? I'll tell you how. Thank God, because of the offering that we bring. Amen. Thank God. God looks at you. He don't see this dirt. He don't see this defilement. He don't see all the blemishes and all the scars and all the rot. Amen. You know what he sees? He sees, thank God, the offering. He sees the good Lamb of God. He sees the righteous covering of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God, he can look at you and he can look at me. Somebody said, I must look awful to God. Well, if God would strip away a minute, listen. Even after I got saved, I want you to hear me. I don't look a whole lot better than I did when God saved me outwardly. I don't smell a whole lot better. I'm not a whole lot better. All of my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Nothing good about me. What about you? Amen. Nothing but putrefying sin. I watch these people that walk like this, and they strut, and they got clothes all time tucking. You know, they just think they're something, and they cut their peas with a knife when they eat. They're so refined. They think they're something. I tell you, if you could ever see you, you'd crawl in a mud hole, and you'd hide. You'd try to hide yourself from the face of God. Amen. When I look at my own self, I get sick. Amen. Are you listening at me? When I look at my own self, I get sad and I get sorrowful. Amen. I get down and I get depressed, but I have to turn my eyes and look back through the eyes of God. And through the eyes of God, I'm white. And I'm pure. Amen. And I'm holy. Thank God. And God can have respect on us because of what he sees in Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, if we could see ourselves away, God. I've got a Bible at the house. The old brown Bible, Schofield Bible, I was using when I came up here 30 years ago. Wore it out, pages falling out of it. You won't even hardly stay together. I've got wrote in the front of it. I wrote many, many years ago, God, help me see me the way you see me, not the way I see me. Oh, friend, God regarded them because of his compassion. God remembered them because of his covenant. God had respect on them because of a covering. But may I say, God redeemed them and claimed them. Look at chapter 6. That's what he's done for us. Chapter 6 of Exodus. Exodus chapter 6. Hallelujah. Y'all listening? Hallelujah to God. Exodus chapter 6, verse number 6. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will rid you out of their bondage. And I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to be for me a people. And I will be to you a God. Amen. God, thank God, didn't only regard them, and God remembered them, and God had respect, but God redeemed them. He bought them, thank God. Amen. God paid for them. You get to chapter 12. He paid for them with the blood of thousands of lambs. Amen. But one day, thank God, at the cross, the good Lamb of God bought me. I'm bought with a price. Amen. Help me, God. I belong. Praise God. I belong to the Lord. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. But listen to this. God bought me. He claimed me as his very own. I'm special to God. Amen. He said, I'll bring you out. I'll redeem you. He redeemed us with blood, and you'll be mine. You'll be my people. Amen. I'm as much God's, listen, I'm as much God as these boys are Reese's and Keys. Amen. Amen. Listen to this. That blood that flows in your veins, boys, nothing can ever change that. You may fall out. You may get mad and never speak to each other again. Amen. Hate each other till your dying day, but you still got that blood mark. Amen. You're still property. You're still sons. Amen. Beloved, now am I the Son of God. I belong to God by price. I've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I belong to him. There was three words that was used in the Bible. I've told you this before, but the Holy Ghost keeps working in my mind standing here. Many long time back I told you this. Three words in the Bible that deals with redemption. Three words. The first one is agarazo. It means to purchase from a slave market. You're a slave, and somebody comes in, and you stand. When they sold those slaves, they stood them up there. They stripped them totally naked, and they bid. Those masters bid for that slave, and they'd make a bid for him, and a master would buy him. Well, that would mean he'd go on a bill of sale, a garazo. He bought this slave fair and square. On this day, he paid such and such for this slave. He bought it from the slave market. But then there was a second word, exagarazo. Amen. Agarazo meant this. He bought that slave. He's going to take it home and put it in work and make a slave out of it. Amen. That's agarazo. Are you with me? He bought it to make a slave out of it. But then if it was put on exagarazo, it meant this. He bought it, but he was going to not make a slave out of it. It wasn't going to be a slave. It was just going to be a servant in his house, but not a slave. It could stay in his house if he wanted to, but he wasn't a slave. But there was a third word they wrote over it, latros. Amen, latru or latros, L-U-T-R-O-O or L-U-T-R-O-O-S, latru or latros. And it meant this, I didn't buy it to make a slave out of it. I bought it, thank God, to set it free. Amen. I bought it to set it free. And thank God, are y'all with me? That slave master would give a bill of sale to the slave, and it would say, you're free. Wherever you go the rest of your life, just show this paper. You've been bought and paid for. You've been set free. Amen. Nobody can ever make a slave out of you again. Nobody can ever tell you what to do again. Amen. You're free to do what you want to do. Thank God. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ wrote latros over my life. Amen. I bought you out of the slave market of sin. I saved you. I claimed you not to be a servant to me, but I claimed you to be a son to me. And I freed you to go where you want to and live the way you want to live. Y'all out there? Most time, that servant that had served for many years, if he fell in love with his master, according to Exodus, he'd go back and he'd say, I love my master. I love his family. I love the life that my master's give to me. I think I'll just stay the rest of my life right where I'm at. They'd take him to the post of the door. They'd take an awl and it bore a hole through his ear. Amen. And that hole, when they saw that hole in his ear, it would say this: my master paid for me. And my master was good to me. And I love my master. He's a good Lord. And I think I'll just serve him. Not because I have to, but because I want to. Amen. I don't think I'll serve him out of law, but I think I'll serve him out of love. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. About to have a spell. Thank God for that day, Brother Dave Sutherland, that God bought me and he set me free. And I've learned him through the years that he's been a good Lord and he's been a good master and he's been good to me. Amen. I'm not serving him out of law. I serve him because I love him. I can't find nobody else that'll be as good to me as he's been. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of y'all look like you're looking at a cave at a new gate. Amen. He redeemed them. He had regard to them. He remembered them. He had respect to them. He redeemed them. He said, I will bring you out. That's his will. He's not going to pay for you and leave you where he found you. Ain't that a blessing? I know this. Sometimes I feel like I'm still in Egypt. Sometimes I feel like I'm still under the law of the flesh. What about you? But I know this. Thank God I know this. He's bringing me out. Amen. 41 years, thank God, he's been bringing me out. And I've been headed in. I don't mean it's wrong, but I'm kind of already got across the river. Amen. I'm already over there. He said, I will redeem you. I will bring you out. Let me tell you, if God said he's going to do it, write her down, buddy, he's going to do it. Not only that, but the fifth thing he did, he requited them. Notice what he said there in chapter 6, verse 6 again. He said, I'll rid you out of the bondage, and I will redeem you. How am I going to do it? With a stretched out arm with great judgments. In other words, I'm going to requite and pay back all of the enemies that ever give you trouble. When it's over, I'm going to pay them all back for the trouble they gave you. Won't you listen at me? According to 2 Thessalonians, let's just turn over and read that. I'd like to quote it, but I'm not sure I can quote it right. Look at 2 Thessalonians just a minute. Chapter number 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. God has requited, he's going to requite us, repay for all the trouble that the world's put us through. 2 Thessalonians 1. Verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulations to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. God's promising us right there that the day will come that he will repay in severe judgment the world that persecuted the body of Christ. Are you listening? If it's on YouTube, you get mad at me, just take an Alka-Seltzer and get over it. I was so sick when they drug that senator, can't even think of his name right now. What was his name, that fellow they just drug all over the country? Lewis, yeah, Joe Lewis. I'm not saying he's a bad man, but they drug him all over the country. Herman Cain died. Cain's a better man than he ever thought about being. They didn't give him no recognition. You know why God's righteous people never get any recognition? The more wicked you are, the more recognition you get. Amen. God's going to one day repay them with a righteous judgment from God. They're going to suffer the judgment of God when Jesus comes. It's going to be made right. Amen. It's going to be made right, thank God, when He comes. Amen. Well, He requited them, and then He removed them. Exodus chapter number 2:6. Go back there one more minute. Well, I've done preached time out this morning. We've had Sunday school, and I don't get to preach an hour and a half. Lord, help us. Exodus 6. Look there. Not only did God regard them, He remembered them, had respect to them, redeemed them, said, I'll requite them. But He said in verse 6 again, I will bring you out. I will rid you out of the bondage. Verse 7, I'll take you to me for a people. I'll be your God. Verse 8, I'll bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. I'll give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord. He removed them, thank God, and took them out of that land. One day, thank God, God's going to take. He removed us when He saved us. Ain't nobody will ever make me believe that a saved person can live in the world anymore. You can't do it. I don't care what people say. I've got a preacher. We're good friends. He's a better preacher than I'll ever think about being, but we disagree on something strongly, and I'm right and he's wrong. He thinks that everybody, you know, most everybody that asks God to save them, saved. But they're just carnal. They just ain't got out of the world yet. He's a great preacher. I won't tell you who I'm talking about. He's a great preacher. I'm really meaning that with all my heart. He's a great preacher. Great man. Great preacher. But I don't believe that. I believe that people God saves, He brings out. He didn't leave a one of them in Egypt. He brought them all out. I don't believe you can stay in the world and be saved. I don't believe you'll love the world and be saved. People love the world. There's something wrong in their heart. This world's as unfriendly to me as it can be, and I'm unfriendly to it. You know, even our community here, people get along, they eat in each other's house, but I can walk up and it's like I've got the plague. You know, a preacher ain't wanted. And you ain't either if you're righteous. You ain't invited to the parties if you're righteous. You're not invited all to get togethers and frolics and reunions. I don't care if they're family, they're still the world when you get saved. Amen. I'll cut a bit more, go down to Miami and pull my clothes off and walk up and down the beach. They don't bother me. I'd check up on what I got, if I was you. You men go down there and pull your shirts off and show them three hairs on your chest and think you're cool. Think you're cool. I'm a cool dude, man. You're a dumb dude, man. This world, Bible said by the time God brought them out, they throwed them out. They cast them out. They run them off. They got tired of them. If world, listen, if you're saved by the grace of God, they'll get tired of you. You don't fit no more. You don't think like it thinks anymore. You don't love what it loves. Amen. It's the truth. Getting quiet out there. You say, well, I fit in with it pretty good, preacher. You're just too far out there, man. It ain't nothing I done. It's what God done to me. It's what God done to me. Well, He reclaimed them. Now, listen, Let me say this, and I'll quit this morning. How'd God bring them out? He completely destroyed the throne of Pharaoh. The Bible said he destroyed the throne even of his son that sat on his throne. Been doing a little looking at this lately. Been studying on it a little bit. I can't find where Egypt has ever come back to power. When God destroyed them here, they never did rise to power no more. And I want to tell you something. God destroyed Egypt to me one day. I told you this, and I'm going to close. It wasn't until they saw Egyptians dead on the bank and Pharaoh dead on the bank that they sung and they got happy. You'll never rejoice in God. Do you see that everything that's just tried to hinder you, God's already destroyed. The throne of Satan's been destroyed. I want to deal with that in our next study. It's destroyed. I want you to understand today, the kingdom of the devil is defeated. Now it has been, it is been, it will be. But it's done. I don't find one place in the Bible that the devil ever went up against the Lord and the devil won. Not one place. My problem in this world, I'll say it again and I'm done. My problem in this world is not altogether the devil. And it's not altogether the world. My problem is that old flesh that just lives in me. I have a hard time with him. Some of you, I realize you're so sanctified you don't even have to come to church but once a week, maybe once a month. You got it down, buddy. I wished I knew how you did that. You don't never have to read your Bible. You don't never have to pray. I wished I knew how you accomplished all that. You don't even tithe. You don't owe God a thing. You done it all for yourself. I wished I knew how you did that. It's either that, or you've never really seen just how rotten you really are. It's one or the other. You choose. I struggle this old man. I think sometimes I've got him whooped. I think sometimes I've sacrificed him. I think sometimes he's dead. But he lives again. He comes back to life. What about you? He comes back to life. And I always have to take myself back and say, now, old man, you're dead. I'm reckoning you dead. But I'm reckoning you alive to God through Jesus Christ. Now listen to this and I'm done. Promise you. Which side are you on this morning? You on Satan's side, the side of Pharaoh and Egypt and the world that's against God and his people? Have never said yes to the Lord? I'm going to tell you, one day you're going to find yourself under the destruction of God and you're going to be sent to hell. Because you won't get on the right side. You can keep saying no to the Lord. And I'm telling you, I don't know how to say this, but you think it's going to bother God to send you to hell? You think God's done bankrupt heaven to get you saved? And if you don't get on the right side, you're going to find yourself floating in the sea of destruction like Pharaoh and Egypt did. And God's people over here singing and shouting because they've been delivered. I wouldn't be lost again for nothing. There ain't no man ever got saved that ever wanted to go back to that old life. Nobody. You say, well, some did. They might have. I'm not denying that some did. But they weren't happy. They weren't happy. Some years ago, a preacher got out of the will of God, knew him well, dear friend of mine. He told another preacher friend of mine, as talking, that other preacher friend asked him, he said, "How you doing?" He said, "I'm doing the best I've ever done in my life." He said, "I'm happy and I'm enjoying life." And that preacher asked me, he said, "What do you think about that?" I said, "One of two things. Either he lied or he's not saved." And I said, "I'm convinced he's saved." Some years later, he got back right with God and he testified how miserable he was. God will teach you this lesson somewhere in your life, and I'm closing. If you're saved, God will teach you this lesson. You remember what I'm telling you. God will teach you this lesson. If he don't ever teach it, you're not saved. As sure as your name's what it is, you're not saved. And here's the lesson. He will teach you that you cannot be saved and enjoy life the way you lived it before he saved you. He'll teach you that. It may be trial and error, uphill and down. Sorrow, heartache, heartbreak, trouble, problems, chastisement, all sorts of stuff. Before you leave this life, you'll come somewhere in your life to realize this truth, that you belong to God now, and that you can't live no way but for God and ever have any happiness. Let's all stand.